Okay, so we're holding on Fin Samach Dalet, I believe.
No.
No, that's where the scripture gives. Where are we holding? Shin Ayin Gimel. Well, that's an old scripture. You see, I don't use the same safety every time. Shin Ayin Gimel. Betochen, betochen, betochen. Oh, the Avodah Sayoyim. In Yon de Yoyma. We said that we're in the category four that deals with the chavis that are incumbent upon the mind, the chavis of avos, and on the averim bilvad. It means nothing to do with anybody else. These are things between you and yourself, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nobody else involved, as opposed to chayne gimel, which is kuli kosher to your relationship with other people. So we said that the doing a mitzvah, doing an aveira, requires three aspects. What the difference between the first and the second one is, well, we have some connection to it. There's, first of all, there's the inner choosing to do something. Then there's the hachlata. What's the difference between yivcho and hachlit? Maybe let's say the ones are deeper. Rotson, as opposed to it's becoming more relevant, real. I don't know. So now he starts thinking about it and how he's going to do it, and he starts putting all the ishtadlises, let's say, into action in order to go and do what he decided that he's going to do. And then the third thing is his mishtadl. Yeah, you see, now you can't say that in the second one. The third thing is he'll mishtadl to actually go ahead and do with his limbs what he decided to do. So stage two is like the planning. Stage three is the actual bringing the thing to fruition. Exactly, they blur a little bit the lines here. Don't let that confuse you. These three things, we'll see. Okay. We said the first two things, it's not hidden from us how you have to do this. The bechira to do a mitzvah aveira, we know what we have to do. We know it's clear. So it's like, well, I don't know, maybe. If you don't know, ask. But we know what we're supposed to be doing or not doing. That's clear from us. There, you can't, there, having betochen on Hashem in stage one and two is called a mistake, and it's called idiocy. You win the idiot if you have betochen on Hashem in that area. That's what he said. Because Hashem gave you mechira to serve him or to rebel against him, and you have mechira. You can't rely on him for that mechira. Where you have to have betochen on Hashem is the third thing. There, that's 100% betochen. We get these things mixed up, by the way. We have betochen in the first two, and then when we don't get it right, we beat ourselves up because it's my fault. We mix them up. I'll give you another moshul for that now as well. The pe'ulas in the midst of the aveira, if Hashem gives you the opportunity to do it, you will, and if he doesn't, you won't. There's no esrogim grew this year. One and two can be, you can get 100% for one and two, there's no esrogim. So that's it. Honest achman apotle, v'nik masipul. He's going to talk about that more. That's just summarizing what we did last week. Let's take this one step further, then we'll come back. This is we spend a lot of our day in this area, this particular area, grappling with the sugya. We're involved in doing this as an avodah the whole day. This is where one has to be challenged. Okay, v'mitach ha'adam al elokim bebechiras avodoysoi roime lo avcha v'lo echlit la'asois mu'ume me'avodis aboy ad sheboy yeten belibi es koyach hashiput. Person says, listen, I'm not choosing or deciding, as he uses that word again, evcha v'achlit. Lo evcha v'lo achaven. In the original, it says, lo evcha v'lo achaven. I won't aim, I won't direct. Again, see two concepts here. There's choosing and being machlit in the better chance, they're not better. I'm not arguing the life story, but the more partial translation is chaven, is to aim. Kavana means to aim. Lechaven is to aim, is to direct. Okay, whatever, however you want to deal with the semantics there. I'm not doing anything in avodas Hashem until Hashem puts into me the koyach to go ahead, to judge, to do the right thing in avodas Hashem. Azutome aderech hayosher. He's bent himself off from the derech haroshah. V'notu roglov manasiva nochon. And he's taken his legs, he's bent his legs off the correct path. Hashem already commanded us, Ubachata Bachaim. Hashem commanded us, you choose. That's the only reason Hashem created the world is for us to have Bechira. If you want to give up your Bechira, the world can go back to Tov V'Vov. We don't need a world. The only reason we are is for Bechira. Without Bechira, you don't need a world. There's no point in the world being created if you don't have Bechira. Bechira is the Yisod HaYisodis of the whole Torah. If you don't have Bechira, there's no Schav O'Enish. If you don't have Bechira, there's nothing. And just go back to what the world looked like before the world was created. Because that's what it's going to look like after the world was created. You're going to have Bechira. The only thing that's going to change from pre-Maaseh Bereishis to post-Maaseh Bereishis is what you did with your Bechira. That's why Hashem created the world, to give you the opportunity to earn the good as opposed to getting it for free. So there's no Bechira, then you can't earn it. So then what's the point of creating the world in the first place? That's Poshut. If that's not Poshut, we have to start it again. We have to go back to Mamash pre-grade. Hashem created the world in order to bestow good. The good has to be the ultimate good. The ultimate good is earned good, not free good. Without going into the side avenues that weave their way off that sugya. Therefore, create a world in which you can choose to earn it or not. But without the choosing to earn it or not, there's no purpose in the Bria B'Klal. All you are is Bechira. All you are is your Bechira. Everything else outside of your Bechira is that that's what Hashem did. You don't get Tzchar and Oynish for being who Hashem made you. When the Tzchar and Oynish kicks in your realm of Bechira, that's where you build your world. Outside of Bechira, you're nothing. So therefore, if you hand over that to HaKadosh Baruch and say, I'm not doing anything until you... So then you just gave up every reason, the whole reason why the world was created. We have to choose. We have to make ishtadlus and we make decisions. There's that word again. Not exactly what it means. Full focus, Laman Shmoy, to do what Hashem wants. That's the correct path that we need to go on for the purposes of this world and the next world. To walk in the world of Bechira. If will be prepared for us, arranged for us, the means. And if we have the possibility to take from potential to reality, to Maisa, the mitzvahs that we chose to do already, as the kabbal, it's a schar hamole, then you'll get full schar. What schar? Reishis al ma'ashe b'chanu b'mitzvah. First of all, you get schar for the choice you made, the bechira. Sheinis al nechoinis shelanu laisosoy. And also because we went and we correctly decided that we're going to do it. And thirdly, and this is a bit of a question, why am I getting schar for the third thing? It's got nothing to do with me. You get schar also for the completion of what you set out to do with your limbs. And if you don't have the ability to fulfill the mitzvah, the maisa, there's no esrogim. You did everything perfectly correct in stage one and two. But stage three, you weren't given the opportunity to fulfill it lemaisa. As nekabel scha ala bechira v'ala nechoynes laisa soisoy. You'll get scha for one and two. Three, I can't give you scha because you didn't do it. It's as if you did it because onus not monopotra, it's as if you did it. You can't get scha for doing something you didn't do. Hashem will make his cheshbon and say he wants to work out the scha there. It's a complicated cheshbon. It's the same as onus ala veiros. If Hashem prevented you from doing the Aveira, you're going to get punished for wanting to do the Aveira. You didn't do the Aveira. I can't punish you for not doing an Aveira. If you do the Aveira, you'll get punished for all three. Just one second. I just want to pick up here something. So he didn't build. He decided he's going to use an Esrog this year, and he went and he did all the studies to find an Esrog, but there was no Esrog in Drew this year. Next year comes Sukkot. He has to try and find an Esrog. So he wants to make the mitzvah of Esrog. He goes, he looks for an Esrog. Maybe he'll find one, maybe he won't. So it'll get harder and harder. You'll get more scarfing what you do, or you'll choose because of that not to do it. Could be. I don't know. There's a lot of to this. You're not allowed to betochen in 1 and 2. 1 and 2, you have to do what you have to do. Now you have any say. Yeah, tomorrow will come and tell you, yeah, you want to do Esrog, but look, every time you try, you're a failure, whatever. But fine, that's an issue you're having. That's a shame. Put you in an issue. That's all. Look at sure to your betochen, really. Betochen says, I did everything I had to do. What happens in there? Look at Shulalai. I did what I had to do. Did you do everything you were supposed to do? Yeah, okay, fine. Well, that's it. Got to be. You're happy. We spend most of our lives living in 3 and beating ourselves up and taking responsibility for 3. That's why we walk around miserable, because we feel like failures at the end of the day. You have to know what was your bechira that was incorrectly used. You do tshuva, you pick yourself up and you move on.
That's why this last line got
me.
You
got
to start
with
3.
Yeah. The schar is not so important to me right now, and I'll tell you why, because I don't really have too much control over schar or anything. It's not my business, really. Business really is knowing what my job is. My job is to choose and to do the correct studies, to do a mitzvah, not to do an avela. My koreba solves the lokashuas. What happens at the end is not nothing to do with me. You planned the surveyor and you worked it out, and it was going to be perfect and everything, and you were going to do it, you were going to do whatever. And Hashem said, no, Hashem stopped you from doing whatever. So that's not kosher to me. My world is in Bechira. What am I choosing to do? What I'm not choosing to do? What are my plans? What are my yearnings? What are my desires? Where do I want to go? I'm planning and living my life where I'm in control of my life. When I'm not controlling my life, I'm not controlled. The most important thing for a person to know is what's in your control, what's not in your control. What's in your control, you're responsible for. Take full responsibility for it. Do the best you can. Where you slip up there, where you make mistakes there, seven, we learn from our mistakes. That's called tshuva. There's a world called tshuva. What's out of your control, what's it got to do with you? Why are you opening up other people's mail? Why are you reading other people's letters? It's not got to do with you. Always ask yourself, is this something that is in my control? People spend hours and hours discussing, should the army go in? Shouldn't the army go in? Someone's asking your opinion. Somebody's interested in your opinion. If you're the guy that's responsible for that decision, then you better be making that. That's your responsibility. But whatever I think is not going to change what's going to happen. So why am I even thinking about it? Why is it even on my table? Why am I opening other people's mail? Yeah, I'm saying, I'm just using an extreme example. People have opinions about everything in the world. It's not going to shoot to them. You've got Biden's phone number and he'll take your call and you can tell him what you think and he'll listen to you. Maybe you have a responsibility to pick up the phone. But since he's not interested in what I have to say and I've no way of getting hold of him, and even if I would get hold of him, he'd hang up straight away. So why am I thinking about what I should tell him? So bring that down into a small. That's like a marshal. Now, small. I have to do this mitzvah. Yeah, I have this mitzvah in front of me. I have this nisoyin in front of me, whatever. What can I do? What's in my control? What's not in my control? If I could just get him to change his mind. You ever try to change somebody's mind? You ever try to change another human being? Why are you trying to change another human being? It's out of your control. So now what can I do? What you can do, do. Even if I could just do this, then I could. Okay, fine. If you can, then do it. But if you can't, you can't. And his son is deciding what's my job, what's not my job. This is a muscle from a fine vaccine. You have a father who has a business. You all know what that is, a business, yeah? Whatever, I don't know, he's a factory, whatever. And he's got 2 kids. The one's a genius, he's a raving genius. Eh? He's one of these financial wizards from the age of 4, yeah? But he's very bodily weak and he's very, very frail and whatever, you know? He's low. He won't, he didn't win the sports scholarship at whatever, you know? Then he's got another son who's a bit of a blockhead. He's not the brightest guy in the world. But he's a tough cookie. Yeah, he's big and he's strong. So what does the father do? He takes the blockhead, the big strong one, he puts him in the office to deal with the finances. But he takes the genius who's got no koyach and whatever, and he puts him in the loading dock to load up the trucks. You understand? That's not a good way to run a business. The same with us. Stop putting the wrong person in the manager's seat. What are you in control of? Control of, do it. What's not your job? Why are you there busy worrying about it? It's not kosher to you. Do a cheshbon. Take a day and do a cheshbon. See how much time and energy you spend on things that have got nothing to do with you. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And it takes away from the time from the things we could be doing. Just do a cheshbon. I've done it. I know what my life looks like. Out of my control. It's hard because we live in a world where people can spend, let's say, 2 hours watching a game, which I understand. Don't get me wrong. I understand. I can watch a game for 5 days. People don't know what that looks like. You have to be African to understand it, or British. A game that, and then it ends in a draw and you're happy. You understand? That's where I grew up. Okay? But besides watching them or playing the game, it depends. Sometimes a draw is a victory in the test. Certainly. When you won down in the series and you got one more game afterwards and you have a draw instead of losing, now you held out for a draw. That's big. Yeah, for sure. Draws, that's the Baltic. 5 days you play and then you have a draw. You have to be African to deal with that. British or Australian. And not any Americans don't get this. Okay. But that's not my point. The point is you can spend 3 days afterwards discussing it. You can watch a 2 hour game and then talk about the game afterwards for 6 hours. What would have been heading and 12 hours before, what's gonna be and what could be. For sure they do. There's whole radio stations and television stations and highly paid individuals doing that. That's the world we live in. And when you don't do that, you feel very icky and uncomfortable because that's how we train. We have to break our tether a little bit. We have to change our habits a little bit and ask ourselves, is this in my control or not? And if it's not, it's got nothing to do with you. Go away. Go away. What's in your control? It's in your control. It's not. It's not. So instead of spending time doing what we can do, we spend time doing what, and that's the Yetzer Hara. He wants you doing what you can't do. But then you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. It's a very simple formula. It's not possible practically, but it's a very simple formula. Change your life radically. What is in my control or what's not? The amount of Knesset meetings that take place in coffee rooms in Bata Midrashim today, the people have no shaykhs to anything. You know, what they say, no one's listening to, no one cares. And they'll argue about it, mamash, vehemently. Anybody ever yet changed somebody's opinion in an argument? You got him to okay, you're right, I never thought about that. Okay, you're right. When was the last time that happened, mamash? Not too bad with the chavrusa. Okay, yeah, you're right, that's pshat. Oh, I never saw the cut in Russia. Thank you, you're right. Okay, there. But in the coffee room, when did everybody ever back down? Never. So 1 second, what am I doing here? What do I hope to achieve? What's my goal? What's my mission here? Stop Yetzer Hara. What are Yetzer Hara? Who are Yetzer Hara? Now, it's easy to break. It's easy to change. No, you try and change just a little bit. Just not asking the question. Just asking the question, you're really a different person. You just ask the question. What's this got to do with me? And then you go weiter. Just asking the question, you're a different person already.
Try to justify the behavior as that you see it's wrong.
What?
If I try to justify the toddler's thing that you see
it's
wrong.
Of course it is, because your seichel tells you, always go and check out the like the Chayyus Salavava says in Shara Vaidus Elokim. You have a tool, a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you a very powerful friend. It's called your seichel. Consult with your seichel, ask your seichel, what do you say about it? Seichel will tell you. Behaving in the coffee room is nonsensical. It doesn't make any sense. So why am I doing it? Okay, because I'm Hergel. I've grown up that way. That's the world I live in. I have brought up in a world with chat shows and talk radio. And when I was growing up as a kid, there was nothing called talk radio. When I got a little bit older, whatever, they started with what was called talk radio. Talk radio. So okay, so it's in my blood, talk radio. Everybody has an opinion about everything, and everyone knows everything about everything, and everyone's busy. So it's very hard to change that. It's the way we grew up. You come to Israel, whoa, don't get in a taxi. You know, taxi drivers have got, they know everything about everything. And I'll tell you as well. So I don't want to be part of that anymore. My seichel will explain to me, and I get it. It's futile. Futile. And it's damaging as well. Because you're spending time doing things that it's called bittle. It's a waste of your life. Total waste of life. Yeah, but I'm... Okay, fine. It's like every habit. You have to slowly chip away at it. But if you make the tedious chip in it, and this is what people don't appreciate, it's also Yetzer Hara. If you have a system, no matter what that system is, no matter how complex it is, if you change one small thing in that system, the system by definition has changed. You take a small screw out of the engine of a car. The engine is not the same engine as it was with that screw. It's not just, well, there's a screw missing, there's a screw missing. No, the system's changed. Because the engine doesn't work the same with that screw and without that screw. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. It does something. So when you make the smallest change in yourself, you've changed something significant, no matter how small it looks, because the system's changed. And when you come to take the next step, the journey is that much smaller, and you have the confidence of having been successful. That's why the HR doesn't want you making small changes. It wants you doing something big. The person has a wake-up call after what happened here on Simplest Torah. I mean, yeah, everybody got a wake-up. Nobody went, oh, okay, interesting news, Vaita, fast assault, you know? No, everybody went through a trauma. Everybody woke up, got a fright. But we all know where that's going to head. After a while, it's going to just fizzle out. You're a different person now because of what happened. Maybe for a few days, I'll think I'm a different person. And it just fizzles out. And you get back to life and you get back to the norm and things are back to normal, whatever. There's a scar of trauma that sort of sits there festering together with all the others, you know, from Eicher and Bais Rishon, Bais Sheni, the Inquisition, the Holocaust, Meron, who didn't get a shock to the bottom of their toes in Meron. Doesn't really ring a bell anymore, even so much. What happened? We're all going to do tshuva and we're all going to say, yeah, okay. How does that work? Because you get Yisroelus and the Yitzharus sees a petach. The Yitzhatov sees a petach. And the Yitzhatov says, ah, Mandi Toreh. The Yitzharus says, well, what's going on here? And then the Yitzharus coughs at you. It's the nature of the world. It's the nature of the world. That's how the world works. So what do you do when you get Yisroelus? You have to change something small and hold on to it, okay? And go forward. So when the Yisroelus goes away, at least you're a slightly different person. We spoke about that on Rosh Chodesh Elul. You wake up on a Shodesh Elul, you have a strophe, you get a big wake up. Yeah? Whoa, wake up. And what do you look like on Motzi Yom Kippur? The guy that woke up on Erev Rosh Chodesh before the Shofa. Nothing's changed. Then he saw you, and because basically you did it, you ever, nothing changed. And when the Yisroelus goes away, what happens? You go back to being the same person you were before. How about you wasted the whole thing? So what do you have to do? You have to change something that will last. And we spoke about it. It has to be small, it has to be sustainable. So fine, everybody took on their Kabbalah and Yom Kippur, but now Shem's asking for a little bit more. He wants to be mashlim the tshuva. We are shuvas was a little bit short this year, a little bit. So he wants us to be mashlim a little bit. So find something else, pinprick size, that you can do, that you can hold on to, that will go with you forever. You see groups of Talmidim coming to Eishet Torah from Chutz La'aretz. And do they get aroused? Wow. Those guys are the Lamed Vav Tzadikim for the 3 weeks they are in Israel. Before do they get turned on? And then they go back to America, Australia, or South Africa, or whatever. With a few weeks, it's... Don't know if that ever happened to you. Don't know if that ever happened to you. You get a big hysterus, and then you go back home, and life carries on. You know, you promise yourself, that's it, from now on, you're going to get back, and life just carries on. We know that. That's the nature of the world. Yeah. So I always used to tell them, before you leave, take on something small. That you take back with you, and you hold on to that no matter what happens. One person who learns here in the Kollel, when that happened to him way back when, he came to me, what should you do? I said, learn a Mishnah Adad. Take it to you, wherever you are, you're back in South Africa, wherever, learn a Mishnah Adad. Ada Yom Hazeh. And that grew into learning Mishnah's Balpe. He made a Simya once, and the whole Seder Nezikin Mishnah's Balpe. Slowly, slowly, he went through, I don't know how much of Mishnah's Balpe he knows today or whatever. Because he held on to something teeny. What's one Mishnah Adad? After he was going to be, that was it. He's changed his life. He's coming through. He's cushioning his house. But you know what you look like after 3 weeks at Eishet Torah? But 1 week back in New York, you're back to being like you were knocking. Eishet Torah is a faint dream. So that's what's happening now. You get Yisroelus. You get excited. You get fired up. That's not going to last. Don't be foolish. You've been here before. When did it ever last? It's not going to last you either. What to do? Something like this happens. Something has to change. No question something has to change. That's called tshuva. That's called tshuva. Find a little thing and be crazy. Who hasn't been crazy about tshuva yet? After a wake-up call like that, you haven't done tshuva yet? You haven't done tshuva yet? Everybody's done tshuva, for sure. For sure everyone's done tshuva. Because Hashem's speaking to me. Hashem's not talking to the kids that were the dancing and the people at Mochal Yom Kippur and all the people we're blaming for all of this that happened. I didn't do any of that, so why do I know about this? If I know about what happened, it means I need to know about it, because Hashem's talking to me as well. For sure, he's talking to all those people as well, but what is, well, I don't open other people's mail. I have to open my letter. No, it's because of them. For sure, it's for them. Yeah, for sure, it's them. Yeah, but there were Shomer Shabbos people that got killed as well. And I found out about it. So if I found out about it, it means Hashem's talking to me as well. So I can't push Hashem out of the picture by saying, yeah, it's because of him. Because eventually Hashem was talking to me as well. Yeah, but he did miracles for you. For sure he did miracles for me. So what? I still have to do tshuva. This has got something to do with me. The Chofetz Chaim, I keep repeating this because it's so significant. People don't get the message. The Chofetz Chaim heard about a flood. He was in Radom. And he heard about a flood in the Mississippi Delta. You know how far Radom was from the Mississippi Delta? Just in time of how long it took news to travel. And there were thousands and thousands of people displaced from their homes and whatever. Big floods in Mississippi. I don't know how many were Jewish people. Let's say there were no Jews there. But Chofetz Chaim found out about it. He was in Radom and he heard about it. What did he do? What's it going to do with me? It was a flood in the Mississippi Delta. The goyim, whatever. So Marshal Shalom. He declared a fast in Radom. He declared a fast in Radom, because if I know about it, it's got something to do with me. We have to be true about it. It's the first Rashi in Chumash. Reishis, Bishvil, Reishis. Everything that happens in the world is for Klal Yisrael. And I'm part of Klal Yisrael. So Klali and Prati, I have to take the message as real. There's earthquakes. There was a series of earthquakes that happened. You know what the Gemara says earthquakes are about? It's about Hashem wanting to destroy the world. He wants to destroy the world. He looks at his world and he says, it's not for me. I don't want this, not the world I wanted. And then he sees a yid and he sheds two tears. The Gemara says, whatever that means, and it goes into the sea and it creates earthquakes and floods and it creates all these acts of God. You know what the insurance companies call natural acts? We call them acts of God. So insurance companies call them acts of God, and then they don't have to pay you because they don't pay for acts of God. Yeah, you heard that one. That's fine. They don't believe in God, but they don't pay for acts of God. Fine. That's what the Gemara says. Not Zohar, it's the Gemara. But Hashem sees a Jew going to the Beis Midrash and learning about it and saying Kriya Shema, Hashem says, oh, okay, I'm not going to destroy the world. But there's an earthquake to not let you know that I wanted to destroy the world. You better get your acts together. The Gemara Mufurush. So there was an earthquake in Nepal. Yeah, for sure, Nepal. Avodah Zarah. Who knows what's going on in Nepal? For sure. Well, for sure to me. Then there was one in Turkey, which we actually felt. People living here actually felt the one in Turkey. Turkey, for sure, the anti-Semites, for sure. Then it came to Morocco, getting even closer and closer. I'm saying, we're supposed to take note of those things. Laws are not a lie. So you deny the first rush in Chumash. The first word in Chumash, you deny, don't believe in it. Everything that happens is kosher to me. Now, if I don't have a chiv to go find out what's going on in the world. But if that news hits the Chofetz Chaim's desk in Radom, I don't know how long it took to get there. 6 months, a year, how long did it take for news to get from the Mississippi Delta to Radom, I don't know. But it wasn't a week or two. It was a long time. But he found out about it. Oh, Hashem's talking to me. What's he trying to say? Have a fast to sit and contemplate and think about what's going to be. So I find out about something. I have to stop and ask. Hashem's talking to me. No, he's not talking to me. He's talking to the Chilonim. He's talking to... You're an Apikairus. He's talking only to them. Maybe he's talking to them, I don't know, but I don't open other people's mail. I don't know what's written in their letter. I got a letter from Hashem. No, you didn't get a letter from Hashem. It's a mistake. It's for them. Told you, Reb Leuchter said when the Second World War started, if you were living in Vilna, yeah, and the Germans came into Germany and they had Kristallnacht and they started doing what they were doing, what would you say? Of course, I understand. Berlin, assimilation, the people had Christmas trees, Rahman al-Islam. For sure, we understand why they're getting hit in Berlin. Yeah, and then they came into Poland, Warsaw. Yeah, for sure. And we understand. Because there was the Bundistim. You know, the Bundistim was, they didn't make Bris Mila. There were Jews who already didn't even make Bris Mila. You know, such a thing. For sure, the Poland, we understand. But in the end, they went to Baranovich and they took Rabbochon and they went to Slobodka and they took Rabbochon and they took Kol Kadosh Elyon. The Klausenberg Rebbe wasn't in Auschwitz. The Blucher Rebbe wasn't in Auschwitz. Kol Kadosh Elyon they took in the end. So you're sitting and saying, yeah, for sure we understand, but that had not got to do with me. No, if something happens, it's got something to do with me. I have to get the message and have to do something about it. What? Go back to the klale of Yom Kippur, of how you change something small, something sustainable, and then you've done tshuva. Yerotzon shelo yechton. You go back to it's the same pattern we discussed for Yom Kippur. You do now. But turn off Yom Kippur, this happens. So fine, so it's an extension, a little bit. Hashem wants a little bit more tshuva. So you do a bit more tshuva. For sure. Anybody don't get this? That's got nothing to do with it. You saw what those kids were dancing there, the Avodah Zorah, for sure. But then they came into Ofakim and they killed holy from Jews as well. So what are you going to say now? Now you feel more comfortable? I'm saying, stop being idiotic.